probably wondering where I am right now. But I ain't in that thing anymore. I learned my lesson. I'm like Jonah. I learned my lesson last week. Ain't ever going back in there. You know, this series has been a great lesson and a reminder that when God called me out here, there were many times, many of times where I felt like just turning around and running away. In fact, one of the biggest times is when we were packing and loading the truck and there was something that wouldn't fit and it was bothering me because, I mean, we had absolutely no room. And it was my golf clubs. And I am so thankful we just figured out a way to do it because as of late, you know, I've been invited quite often. In fact, last week I spent some time with some good people, some family, and they said, hey, you know, it's about time to play some golf. Now, many of you don't know this, but I used to play quite often. In fact, I was thinking of even going pro. I had a mean drive. My irons were ferocious. My putting game needed some work, but for the most part, it was just incredible. And I used to love playing with competitive people. I used to love playing with pros at the golf courses. I used to love playing with the people that had the great memberships to the country clubs. But since I haven't played in the longest of while, you know what I'm hoping that I can play along with? People that can keep an eye on my golf ball, yell out four when it goes astray. And I'm hoping that I can play with some people that are gracious with the mulligans. Now, if you've never played golf and you don't know what mulligans are, let me just kind of explain to you what a mulligan is, okay? So you go up to the tee box and you hit this little rinky-dink shot. Messes up your score completely. If it lands in the water, messes up your score completely. Sometimes if it lands in the sand, it messes up your score completely. And so you're hoping that the guys that you're playing along with will say, hey, want to use a mulligan? Yes. And a mulligan is like a brand new shot. Doesn't count against you. That previous shot that you did doesn't count against you. It's completely wiped away like it never happens. It's a second time. It's a second chance to hit it again. And I started thinking, my goodness, what if in life we got mulligans? You're driving down the throughway going 90 miles an hour. You're in a rush. You're running late. Cop puts a sirens. He's chasing you down. You pull over. He gets a, yeah, let me see your license and registration and insurance. You just take it out. And he said, I need for you to, you were really speedy. I need for you to get off the car. Just imagine if you could just be like, oh, you're going to use your mulligan? Sir, go right ahead. No worries. You drive safe, okay? Wouldn't that be incredible? Or what if you just got a call from your mortgage company? Hey, you're about 25 days late. Yes, I know. Having a little trouble. Yeah, I know you're having trouble. When are you going to get your... Can I put you on FaceTime? Yes. You're going to use your mulligan? Yes. Well then, don't worry about it this month. Hopefully you can pay next month. Wouldn't that be incredible? Hey, honey, I'm going to go with the boys. We're going to go watch the college championship game. I'll be right back as soon as the game's over. Okay, honey, but you just make sure you're here by midnight. Oh, no problem. You're out there with the boys watching the game. It's two. Dude, I gotta get going, guys. Sorry, I gotta leave. You walk into the house, you already know what's gonna happen. You need to get honey, come on in. Have a seat. You hungry? Want a late night breakfast? Wouldn't it be incredible to have mulligans like that? Now, this story of Jonah, I want to share something with you about when you talk about mulligans. Because see, Jonah was called by God to go to this place that was extremely horrific. And he says, Jonah, I need for you to go down there. I need for you to preach my word because these people are just, they're just destroying themselves. They're raping children. They're raping women. They're killing people. They're chopping heads. They're piling them up. It's getting horrible. They need to hear my word. Jonah, all right, let's go. Last minute, he says, no thank you. Jumps on a cruise ship, is parting his life away, is enjoying this time. He's running away from God. He's running away from the calling that God has on his life. And God brings this storm because he needs Jonah to turn around. He cannot allow Jonah to live this destructive kind of life. And so he brings up the storm, and it's knocking this ship, this big old ship. It's tearing it apart. Sailors are screaming. They're thinking they're going to die. Captain is going crazy. He says, why is this happening? Jonah finally stands up. He said, this is all my fault. Well, what are we going to do? Well, you're going to have to throw me overboard. It's the only way it's going to stop. And so Jonah gets thrown out, sinks to the very bottom, thinks his life is over. All of a sudden, he finds himself in the belly of a whale. And we talked about that last week, how many of us, because we've made some bad decisions, bad choices, we have found ourselves in the belly of a whale. End of the chapter 2, we see how God, as Jonah, that whole chapter 2 was just Jonah just praying to God, praying, praying, praying. God still listened, spit Jonah right out. And here we see how God had been giving Jonah multiple mulligans in his life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Jonah chapter 3. And I need for you all to be on your toes because let me tell you, I'm going to chop these verses up. Okay, it's 1 through 10. We're going to chop them up. I need for you all to be on your toes because we're going to go right through it. And the very first thing that you're going to notice right from the beginning, right from verse 1, is that God has this endless amount of grace. He is a God of endless chances. Look at verse 1. It's perhaps the most beautiful verse in the Old Testament. And it says this, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Underline that. Those words, second time. This is basically saying that God gave Jonah a second chance. After he had completely blown it and ended up in the belly of a whale, he thought his life was over. He thought, that's it. I'm never going to be used by God ever again. He thought it had all come to an end because of his failures. But he was wrong. Because he has a God of second chances. He's offering him a second chance. And this is God saying to Ed, hey, you have messed up so many times, but I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you a mulligan. This is God saying to you, I am going to give you another shot. I am going to give you another chance. Some of you, because you have made these mistakes in your life, because there have been times where you have disobeyed God, you have gone the total opposite direction of where he has called you, you think it's too late for me. I've ignored God. I made bad mistakes. I went into the wrong career. I married the wrong person. I bought the wrong house. I went into the wrong city. I've made wrong friends. I've committed the wrong sin. Now I'm off track for the rest of my life. Many people think this way. They think, hey, if I made one bad decision, I'm off course from God's plan for the rest of my life. Friends, That does not make any sense. I mean, let's just say, as an example, let's just go all the way back to Adam and Eve and their kids. Maybe they married the wrong person. Okay? And then from that point forward, because it's this chain reaction, so they married the wrong person, and that person now has married the wrong person, and then their kids have married the wrong person. And so here we are now, and you're wondering why marriage is such a challenge, why it's so difficult today. You want to know why? Because we've all married the wrong person. Doesn't make sense, does it? See, if you're still breathing, you need to know that you have a chance. A chance to live a life that God has called you to. As long as you breathe, you still have a chance to worship, to be a part of God's plan, because our God, the one that we worship, is gracious with the mulligans. He is a God of second chances. And that's the first thing we see right from the get-go. And so now, here's Jonah. He's got the second chance. But he's got to be wondering this, just like I would and just like we all would. Okay, maybe God's giving me a second chance to live, but maybe he's not calling me the same call that he's given me. Jonah's thinking, maybe I'm not going to be a prophet anymore. Maybe I'm just going to be like some folks where we just show up on Sunday, I just sit there, listen to a message, and then I go about my business. Maybe that's just the extent of my calling. Look at what I've done. Maybe that's as far as I'm going to get, because I almost killed a whole group of people because of my decisions. I ruined their ship. They had to throw overboard everything that they've ever owned. So much destruction that I have caused. I mean, I seriously doubt that God is going to ever use me again, because I'm really a disobedient, pathetic prophet. This is what he's thinking. I'm as pathetic as it can be. God's not going to use a guy like me. But you need to know something. God's calling does not change. God's calling on Jonah's life did not change. God's calling on our life, no matter what happens, never changes. The problem is that many of us, what we do, what we tend to do, is we get caught up in our past. And see, we shouldn't focus so much on our history, because it's always an expense to the destiny that God has given us. Yes, we should learn from our history. Yes, we should grow from it. But don't get captivated by it. Because if you hold on to your past, you know what's going to happen? Your past is going to hold on to you. And not only will it hold on to you, but then it consumes you. It will own you and distract you from the destiny that God has called you for your life. And you need to know this. God's calling on your life will never change. Now, I know it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, because you wouldn't take an officer who's been court-martialed and immediately give him the command to take over the most crucial battle of a war, right? Would you do that? If you need someone to take on a heroic quest, we want the cream of the crop. We want the guy who gets the highest grade point average. We want the guy who whipped everybody else in tryouts. That's the guy we want. We want to give it to the goody two-shoes who do everything right. You don't give it to Jonah, who gets everything wrong. But look what God does. His calling on Jonah's life never changed, no matter how much he ran away, no matter how far he ran away, no matter how much he kicked, no matter how much he screamed, no matter how disobedient he was. You know what it kind of reminds me of? You know, and I've shared this with you. I love staying up late. And I thought, well, if I love to stay up late and the kids love to stay up late, well, we should just let them all, everybody just stay up late. And then one evening, Rose just looked at me and she says, you know what? From this point forward, kids are going to bed at 8 p.m. period. And I was like, 8 p.m., that's so early. Are you kidding me? She's all, no, that's what we're going to do. Which, by the way, let me tell you, ever since she's done, it's the most amazing thing. There's some peace and quiet right after 8. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful concept. So she's saying, we're going to put the kids to bed at 8 p.m. And the first several nights, what she would do is she would put the kids, and they'd start screaming, and they start crying, they start yelling, and why are we going to bed? Why are we thinking they're getting punished of some sort? And Rose would always say, look, you can kick and scream all you want, you can cry all you want, but the fact remains you are going to bed, period. And I think that's what God was doing, saying to Jonah, hey, Jonah, you can kick and scream all you want. You can hide all you want. But because my calling never changes, you're still going to Nineveh. And that's exactly what God did. Look at verse 2. Arise, Jonah. You want to know where you're going? You want to know if my calling is still the same? You go to Nineveh, in this great city, and I'm going to call out against it the message that I tell you. Now, I just want to stop there real quick because I love this point right here where, think about this, God tells Jonah, go immediately. Not only does his plan never change, but he tells Jonah, go immediately. He doesn't say, hey, Jonah, you've had such a rough time in the lower gastrointestinal tract of that fish. And I know it's been so hard for you down there. Why don't you just take a couple of weeks off and then we'll see what you want to do. Because I know you don't want to go out there, right? You know what this teaches us? That God's mission is not for the well-rested. It's not for the elite. It's not for people with time on their hands. It's not for people with money. It's not for people that don't have money. It's not for people that have the gift of gab. It's not the people that have a theological education. It's for anyone who says, I belong to God. Because God is by nature a calling and ascending God. And if you know him at all, then you know there's always going to be a second. There's always going to be a third time. There's always going to be a fourth time. God by nature is ascending God, and he is a calling God, and he will have a call on your life, and it will never change. And so God tells Jonah, I want you to go back to Nineveh. And look what happens next. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now he's thinking. Now he learned his lesson. He's like, I ain't going back in that belly of the whale. I won't listen to God this time. Then it goes on to say, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he's calling out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now here's what we got to remember. Nineveh was one of the largest, most influential cities in that day. And it took Jonah 3 days to walk through it. And he's preaching this message. Now, you got to wonder, you got to ask yourself this question. How is everyone hearing this message? Because he's one man, and he's hustling, and he's bustling in a hustling and bustling kind of city. He ain't got no sound system. He ain't got no praise band. He ain't got no 20x20 coffee bar. So how are these people hearing the message? How is this huge crowd hearing the message? And then to top it off, do you know what his sermon is? It's like 6-7 words. He says, 40 more days and then it will be overturned. He says, 40 days and you guys are done. And he's walking through town. That's his message. That's the sermon that he's giving. 40 days and you guys are done. Can you imagine if next Sunday I show up? Come up. Guys, 7 more days is our Easter service. And for some people, that's the only opportunity that they'll ever come to church. And we got 7 days to invite friends, families, enemies, whoever it is. 7 days. Now have a blessed day. Goodbye. Some of you would be like, that's it? I can go home? The best sermon ever. Those several words changed people's lives, changed people's hearts. Because at verse 5 it says, Jonah says, for 40 days Nineveh will be overturned. Verse 5, what happened? The people in Nineveh believed God. And they called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Now, why did they listen? Why would they react so positive to just those few words? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jonah was the message. Jonah was the message. He had been in the belly of this great fish for 3 days and three nights. He's got all these gastric juices that are bleaching his skin. He's losing his hair. He's got blotched skin. He's got fish spit up all over him. And he's up on the shore. He probably looks like a ghost who had been in a grave for 3 days. And so he has their attention. They noticed Jonah's sermon. He was the powerful illustration that we don't have to go through this senseless pain by disobeying God. The minute he calls us to do something, we should just do it. What's the sense of running from him? What's the sense of doing harm to ourselves and harm to our family? We don't need to do any of that. Jonah was the message, and a powerful message it was, because it says the people believed. And this is why it is so important to know that delayed obedience does not change your destination. So you might as well just follow God right now. Because when Christ starts something, you best believe he completes it. Might as well go with the flow. Might as well go with the God flow. And here's the third point we see from this passage of 6 through 10. We don't have to start from scratch. Look at verse 6. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. In other words, he rose from his throne, he put on this old school potato sack deal, and he's in dirt. This is basically him saying, I am humbling myself to you, God. In verse 7, he issues this proclamation for all the other people. It says, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd, flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink. They're fasting there. It says, but let man be covered with sackcloth. Let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil, from the violence that is in his hand. So you got to remember something. There's Bible scholars say there's about 120,000 people here. Ruthless people that are coming to faith. Can you imagine that? Do you remember when Jesus said in Luke 15, I believe it was, that there is joy all across heaven. There's this cosmic celebration when someone surrenders their life to Christ. When someone repents, when someone turns and gives their faith to God. You know that happened to you. The day you turned your life to Christ, the day you said no to your past, the day you said, God, I want you to come into my life, I want you to forgive me of my sins, to guide my future, the day that you did that is the day heaven celebrated. And it kind of makes you wonder what kind of party they had when 120,000 people did. And then verse 9, it says, who knows? The king says, who knows? Maybe if we turn from our ways, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Verse 10 says, and when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, here comes the God of second chances, even for the worst of worst. It says God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And so here's what's happening. People of Nineveh, they're believing God's message. They're surrendering their life to God. from the greatest to the least, from the king to the oppressed. They decided to go without food. They're fasting, they're weeping, they're mourning. They repented, they turned to God. And when God saw all this, he stopped and had mercy on them and did not cause any destruction. And this is an incredible moment. In this city right here, there is revival. There is repentance. There are people actually being changed by God's mercy, and they're being changed by God's unfailing love. Do you see this? Do you see how this is all possible? And can you imagine this happening throughout Chautauqua County, and it starting in a movement that God can do right here at Christ Community? Can you imagine that happening? Because it is possible. Because there is nothing impossible for God. But it starts with you. And it starts right here. And it starts within your own hearts. Because see, it's so easy for us to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm living for God. It's so easy for us to say it. But it's so much easier to live for nothing but our own schedules, our own careers, our own love, and our own goals. So let me ask you this. What are you living for? What are you living for? And you may say, hey, I don't have gifts. I don't have the talent. I don't have the time. I don't have the smarts to do it. Let me just say something. The answer is God doesn't need any of those things if you don't have them. All he wants is your will. And someone says, well, I'm too scarred. God will use your scars. And someone says, well, I can't articulate it. I mean, you're a pastor. You can do that. You've been trained for that. I can't do that. Just look at Jonah and look how he changed the city. Did you see what he said? He said, 40 more days and Nineveh will going to be overturned. You call that a good message? He didn't even tell him about the possibilities of escaping. That was a lousy job. And God changed that whole country through him. And you can do better. Look at what the cost of Christ did for you to be an ambassador for him. And what will it cost you to be an ambassador for him? You know what it'll cost you? It's not going to cost you anything that you're not going to end up giving up someday anyway. The word of the Lord came a second time, and it came a third time, and it came a fourth time. How many times has it come to you, and do you hear it this morning? And so right now, I'm going to invite you to listen to God. Listen to what he wants to say to you. Maybe he brought you here today just to get your attention, to say, hey, look inside yourself for just a little bit. Look at who you are becoming. Maybe he brought you here to say, hey, it's time to turn around. It's time to head in a totally new direction. Maybe God is saying, it's time to make a U-turn. It's time to start walking and living towards me. Here, let me close with a story, because I feel like there may be some of you who are walking really in the wrong direction, and you just know it. And maybe you think, I don't have time to do it, or maybe God just won't ever use me. I want to share with you this. This happened to us just a few weeks ago. You know, I come from El Paso, and there's Mexican restaurants every other corner. Well, out here, there really isn't. And they can have a Mexican name on it. Doesn't mean they make Mexican food. And I've been craving this so bad that I started looking up some different places, and there was a spot in Buffalo. Every review, the most amazing tacos, tacos, Taco Tuesday, tacos, tacos, very cheap, amazing tacos. I said, hey, let's go get us some tacos. And so we hop in the car, and we're heading down there to Buffalo, and I go to Siri, and I say, hey, Siri, take us to this place. And sure enough, she's taking it. And then I always do that overview to kind of see where she's taking me. And I noticed that there's an easier way. I said, Siri, you're trying to take me the long route. I'm going to go the short route. I'm going to go this way. And so I start going my own way. And she starts doing that annoying thing. Make a U-turn, turn here, make a U-turn. And she's saying that constantly. And now Rose is starting to say, I think you need to make a U-turn. And so now I got two women telling me what to do. And I can only shut one of them off. So I'm zigzagging. I said, I know where I'm going. And I go to the street that I want to turn on. Well, as I turn, there's a guy that's looking at me going like this. And he's like, it's a one-way. It's a one-way. And I'm like, oh, shoot. So I have to turn around. And then I turn to another street that's a one-way. And I see cars. So I'm turning. I make all sorts of turns. And I'm like, shoot, where am I now? I go back to Siri. And the minute I put her on there, she's like, uh-huh. Now you want to listen, huh? Now let me think about it now. Now that you're in a bind. No, she didn't say that at all. In fact, there was no guilt. There was no shame in her voice. With the same voice and the same tone as she always does, she simply said, make a U-turn. And I did. And I want you to know something today. Because God's saying the very same thing to you. And he doesn't say it with shame. And he doesn't say, well, how did you get yourself there in the first place? And he doesn't say, well, you should have known better and you should have listened. There is absolutely no guilt or shame from the God of second chances. He says, when you're ready to listen to me, my child, let me show you where you need to go. Let me help you turn and make the right path. Because see, it's one thing to get lost in Buffalo. But it is a whole other thing to be lost in life. And even though you thought you were going the right path, and now you realize this morning even, in fact, that you weren't, with God, it is never too late. It is never too late to make the U-turn. Because our God is a God of second chances. And he says, follow me. Come my way. He says, my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. And so the word of the Lord came a second time. It came a third time. And it'll come a fourth time. How many times has it come to you? And will you hear it this morning? Will you bow your heads for prayer? Father, I thank you so much for being a God of just that, of endless mercy, of endless grace, of endless love. And Father, I just pray for those, Lord, that have, in whatever capacity, in whatever way, they have turned from you. They're doing things their own way. They're caught up in their own schedules, caught up with their own finances, caught up with their own lives. Lord, may they completely turn, make that U-turn, and surrender their life to you. Jesus, thank you for making it all possible that we can have a relationship with you, that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father because of what you did on that cross, in your obedience to our Heavenly Father. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you for your word. And thank you for our calling that you have on every person here and the endless amount of forgiveness and love. In Jesus, it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here. If anyone would need prayer or praise, there'll be several of us that love to pray with you. It's good to be here with you this Sunday. Have a blessed week.